Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember by Avram Goldar and the name is Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, the eighth parak Yesh Nochlin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa that if one writes all his properties to his wife in a case where the gift takes effect, as the Gemara will explain, and then someone produced a shtar chov against the husband's property, which preceded the gift but not the ksuba, Rabbi Eliezer says Tikrat Matnasa, she rips up her gift, but Tamud al ksubasa, and stands upon her ksuba, meaning he holds she never relinquished her ksuba's shibud on the land. The gift only enhanced her rights. Here, where she would lose the gift to the preceding debt, she may still collect it for her preceding ksuba. The Chachamim say, Tikra ksuba sa, but Tamud al matnasa. She rips up her ksuba, meaning she did relinquish her shibud when she received the gift and can only stand upon her gift. The Nim says, Kerachas mikan mikan, and since the debt precedes her gift, she is found bald from here and from there, meaning she loses on both sides. Point number two, Rav Nachman ruled like the Chachamim's view that a woman who was given all her husband's assets relinquished her ksuba's shibud on his assets. The Gemara asks, does this mean that Rav Nachman does not follow Umdana, our assessment of one's mindset, which would presumably be that she does not relinquish her shibud? But a Braisa states that if one son traveled abroad and his father heard he died and wrote his entire estate to others, after which his son returned, the Tanakhama says the gift remains valid. But Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says, "E matnaso matana, his gift is not valid. She For had he known his son would return, he would not have written his possessions away." Rav Nachman rules like Rav Shimon Manasseh, showing that he does follow the umdana of the person's mindset. The Gemara answers that the assessment in the first case can be made differently. For she's pleased that word should go out about her that her husband wrote these properties to her, demonstrating his trust and respect for her. And point number three, a Mishnah states that if one wrote his properties to his sons, and wrote to his wife land of even minimal size, she forfeited her ksuba's shibud on the property given to the sons. Amoraim offer three interpretations why this is so. Number one, the case is where he transferred the property to his sons through her acquiring it on their behalf. By facilitating the transfer, she showed her approval, where she also received some land. Number two, he distributed the estate before her, and she didn't protest. Number three, he said, take this land for your ksuba, and she did not protest. However, these interpretations are all disproven from the Seifa. Rabbi Yossi says, "Im kibla aleha, if she verbally accepted the loss of her shibud, afa pishul kasavla, even if he did not write any land to her, she forfeited her ksuba shibud." This proves the Tanakhama requires both ksiva, writing her property, and Kabbalah, her verbal acceptance. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Yossi that either is sufficient and explains Kevin Sha'asa Shutta Bein Abanim, since he made her a partner among the sons by giving her property of the Ksubasa, she forfeited her Ksuba's Shibud. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a Braisa that if one writes all his properties to his wife in a case where the gift takes effect, as the Gemara will explain, and then someone produced a shtar chov against the husband's property, which preceded the gift, but not the ksuba, Rabbi Eliezer says, Tikra matnasa, she rips up her gift, but Tamud al ksubasa, and stands upon her ksuba, meaning he holds she never relinquished her ksuba's shibud on the land. The gift only enhanced her rights. Here, where she would lose the gift to the preceding debt, she may still collect it for her preceding ksuba. The Chachamim say, Tikra ksuba sa, but Tamud al matnasa. She rips up her ksuba, meaning she did relinquish her shibud when she received the gift and can only stand upon her gift. The Nim says, Kerachas mikan mikan, and since the debt precedes her gift, she is found bald from here and from there, meaning she loses on both sides. Point number two, Rav Nachman ruled like the Chachamim's view that a woman who was given all her husband's assets relinquished her ksuba's shibud on his assets. The Gemara asks, does this mean that Rav Nachman does not follow Umdana, our assessment of one's mindset, which would presumably be that she does not relinquish her shibud? But a Braisa states that if one son traveled abroad and his father heard he died and wrote his entire estate to others, after which his son returned, the Tanakhama says the gift remains valid. But Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says, "E matnaso matana, his gift is not valid. For had he known his son would return, he would not have written his possessions away." Rav Nachman rules like Rav Shimon Manasseh, showing that he does follow the umdana of the person's mindset. The Gemara answers that the assessment in the first case can be made differently. For she's pleased that word should go out about her that her husband wrote these properties to her, demonstrating his trust and respect for her. And point number three, a mission states that if one wrote his properties to his sons, Pekasavu Ishto Karko Koshu, and wrote to his wife land of even minimal size, Avda Ksubasa, she forfeited her Ksuba's Shibud on the property given to the sons. Amoraim offer three interpretations why this is so. Number one, the case is B'mezakalen al Yada, where he transferred the property to his sons through her acquiring it on their behalf. By facilitating the transfer, she showed her approval, where she also received some land. Number two, he distributed the estate before her, and she didn't protest. Number three, he said, take this land for your ksuba, and she did not protest. However, these interpretations are all disproven from the Sefer. Rabbi Yossi says, im kibul aleha, if she verbally accepted the loss of her shibud, afu pishul kasavah, even if he did not write any land to her, she forfeited her ksuba shibud. This proves the Tanakhama requires both ksiva, writing her property, and Kabbalah, her verbal acceptance. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Yossi that either is sufficient and explains, Kevin Sha'asa Shutta Ben Abanim, since he made her a partner among the sons by giving her property, Avda Ksubasa, she forfeited her Ksuba's Shibud. All right, so now we get our Simmer Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, and our standard Simmon is a club or a clubhouse. In this case, it's going to be a clubhouse. So here goes. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, the husband decided to just transfer the clubhouse to his son since he was confident his wife would surely say that it's okay. Once again, slow motion. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse, that must be run off Kuf Lamed Beis. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that if one writes all his properties to his wife in a case where the gift takes effect, as Gemara will explain, and then someone produced a shtar chov against the husband's property, which preceded the gift, but not the ksuba. Rabbi Eliezer says, Tikra matnasa, she rips up her gift, but tamod al ksubasa, and stands upon her ksuba, meaning he holds she never relinquished her ksuba shibud on the land. The gift only enhanced her rights here, where she would lose the gift to the preceding debt. She may still collect it for her preceding ksuba. The Chachamim say she does relinquish her ksuba's shibud. So after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, which reminds us, a braisa states that if one son traveled abroad and his father heard he died and wrote his entire estate to others after which the son returned, the Tanakhama says the gift remains valid, but Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says, his gift is not valid, for had he known his son would return, he would not have written his possessions away. Rav Nachman rules like Rav Shimon Manasseh is showing that he does follow the umdana of the person's mindset. So after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, the husband decided to just transfer the clubhouse to his son since he was confident his wife would surely say that it's okay. Which reminds us, a Mishnah states that if one wrote his properties to his sons and wrote his wife land of even minimal size, she forfeited her ksuba shibud on the property given to the sons. Amoraim offer three interpretations which are all disproven from the Sefer, where Rabbi Yossi says, im kibo aleha, if she verbally accepted the loss of her shibud, even if he did not write any land to her, she forfeited her ksuba shibud. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Yossi that either is sufficient and explains, since he made her a partner among the sons by giving her property, she forfeited her ksuba shibud. So once again, after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, the husband decided to just transfer the clubhouse to his son since he was confident his wife would surely say that it's okay. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf kuf chav ches. So the simmer daf kuf chav ches is 100 strong men. So here goes. The 100 strong men. 100 strong men. That must be learned daf kuf chav ches. The 100 strong men who refused to accept testimony from a blind man, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses giving testimony after becoming blind. A braisa teaches a general rule, kol shetchilaso osofu bepasulus pasul, any testimony whose beginning, meaning the witnessing, or the end, the delivery of the testimony, was in a disqualified state, is invalid. If he was qualified both at the beginning and at the end, the testimony is valid. This apparently superfluous rule teaches that a blind man may never testify. So the 100 strong men refused to accept testimony from a blind man that their father said his wife should receive an equal portion in their inheritance, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba sent Rabbi Yossi Bar Chama, if one says, Tito ishti ke'echad min habanim, my wife should take a share in my estate like one of my sons, no tell us ke'echad min habanim, she takes a share like one of the sons. This directive was either given by Shchimeira, a gravely ill person, whose verbal instructions can transfer property, or the transfer was effected through a kinyan. Rava clarified, this gift only applies to properties he owns now at the time of his instructions. So the 100 strong men refused to accept testimony from a blind man that their father said his wife should receive an equal portion in their inheritance, went to Basin where they wait in line behind a man swearing that he paid half, even though Adim testified that he paid in full. Which reminds Rabbi Abba sent Rabbi Yossi Bar Chama, if a lender withdraws a loan document against his friend, saying he wasn't paid, and the borrower says he paid half, and then witnesses testify he paid it fully, or is it nishma, the borrower swears that he paid half, like an ordinary partial admission, but gova mechsim in the chasim b'nei chorin, and the lender collects half from the borrower's own properties based on the borrower's admission. He cannot collect from properties the borrower sold to others, because they can say, anan an edim samachinan, we rely on the witnesses who said the loan was paid in full. Daf Kuf Chaf Tes, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Tes is cactus. So here goes. The man who said Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields. Cactus? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Tes. The man who said Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I'm giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chaf Vavan Beis taught that if one instructed to divide his estate differently than the Torah's laws of inheritance, his instructions are ignored. However, if he added an expression of matana, of giving, whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end, it's valid. There are four opinions about the extent of this law. For example, Reish Lakish holds, a matana phrase only validates a case of two fields and two people if he used two phrases of matana, such as Reuben and Shimon shall inherit field A and field B, respectively, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them. So the man who said Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, which reminds us, the Gemara concludes that a Bryce refutes the opinions that do not validate the inheritance clause in a case of two fields and two people from the case of one who says, Nechasai l'cha, my property shall be given to you when I die, v'acharecha yirash Pony, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, v'acharecha yirash Pony, and after the one after you dies, Pony should inherit it. The Bryce teaches that after the first recipient dies, the second person acquires it, and when the second person dies, the third person acquires it. So the man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property should be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, making sure that the second phrase of inheritance was said, Tok Kedei Dibur, of the single expression of matana, which reminds us, Reish Lakish agrees, one matana phrase is sufficient when the Yerusha phrase is said, Tok Kedei Dibur. Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, so the Simver, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph is a kela, a prison, a jail cell. So here goes. The jail's healthiest inmate, jail, that must be on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, kela, prison, jail cell. The jail's healthiest inmate redistributed his inheritance, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochum Broka allows even a bari, a healthy person, to redistribute his inheritance. So the jail's healthiest inmate redistributed his inheritance that would remain after the Ksubas Benin Dechrin that would be given as a gift, which reminds us a Ksubas Benin Dechrin operates based on a Tanai Basin and not normal requirements. So the jail's healthiest inmate redistributed his inheritance that would remain after the Ksubas Benin Dechrin that would be given as a gift, while his buddy in the next jail cell willed everything to his wife, not to cut out the kids, but rather to make her the apitropos, which reminds us, Shmuel said, a kosev kol nechasav l'ishto, one writes in his will to give all his possessions to his wife, he has merely made her an apitropos over his estate, but does not give her any of it. We assume that one is not likely to leave his children with nothing, and that he would likely appoint his wife as an apitropos, so the children will treat her with respect, knowing she controls the estate. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf in the Tumtum Shenikra Nimsa Zohar is excluded from various halachos, such as the Bechora? That's on daf Kuf Chav Zayin. Good. Number two, which daf do you discuss what the din is when a borrower says he paid half a loan in a shtar, and Adim testify he paid it fully? That's on daf Kuf Chav Ches. Good. Number three, which daf when the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka allows even a bari, a healthy person, to redistribute his inheritance? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number four, which daf do you in the Reish Lakish agrees one matana phrase is sufficient when it's Tok De Dibur of the Yerusha phrase? That's on daf Kuvchavtes. Good number five. Witch stuff. Do discuss a wife relinquishing her ksuba shibud, where the husband wrote his properties to his sons. That's on daf. Kuflamabes. Good number six. Witch stuff. Do you know that a father who stipulates to divide the inheritance differently than the Torah's laws has said nothing. That's on daf. Kuvchavav. Good number seven. Witch stuff. Do you know that writing away all of one's possessions to his wife is merely an appointment as an apitropos. That's on daf. Kuf Lamed Aleph. Good number 8. Which daf do we discuss the case where someone heard his son died in Medina Siyam and wrote away his possessions and then his son returned? That's on daf. Kuf Lamed Beis. Good number 9. Which daf do we discuss giving testimony after becoming blind? That's on daf. Kuf Chaf Ches. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we have a case where one wrote all of his property to his wife and then the husband's debtor came to collect it? That's on daf. Kuflam and Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.